Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Readings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Big Bend Sentinel for May 20th, 2021. Hello, this is Kay reading the Big Bend Sentinel for May 20th, 2021. www.bigbendsentinel.com. Burn ban in effect. No ground fires by order of Presidio County. Marfa students enjoyed a night of luxury at prom after another tough school year. Photo by Maisie Crow. Leslie Torres and Marco Ruiz take to the dance floor during last weekend's Marfa High School prom at the Sentinel. With only a month to plan, the event was a step towards normalcy in a year marked by the pandemic. More photos by Maisie Crow. Top, Marfa High School students and their dates gather in the backyard to celebrate a night of luxury at the Sentinel for prom. Attendees enjoyed the evening out on the dance floor and sat at decorated tables under the stars. Center, Marfa High School Principal Allison Scott left, crowns Gabby Soto Center prom queen on Saturday night at the Sentinel. Prom attendees voted on king and queen at the event. Gabby and prom king Dedrick Campos Wright shared a dance after the results were announced. Bottom, Audria Garcia adjusts Zach Wilson's suit jacket at the Marfa High School prom Saturday night. Article is by Abby Perot, ABBIE at BigBendSentinel.com. Marfa. This Saturday night, teachers, parents, and students rushed to set up a balloon arch, table dressings, streamers, and a DJ booth ahead of Marfa's 2021 prom at the Sentinel. 15 minutes ahead of the event's start, rain poured down, drenching the backyard of the venue and threatening to cancel the event. Distressed teachers feared the worst. A prom that had barely come together wouldn't even get off the ground. For most of the school year, students and teachers weren't sure if they would even have a prom, afraid it would be one of many rites of passage sacrificed during the COVID-19 pandemic. This year, the junior class had just a little over a month's notice to plan the event after the school's administration officially gave them the go-ahead. Prom 2020 had already been missed, and the rain now threatened the little piece of normalcy for students that prom 2021 represented. But before 7:30 p.m., the clouds lifted, shining golden light onto the patio's black, gold, and silver decor. Young men and women arrived in their gowns and suits to enjoy the evening, celebrating with the theme, A Night of Luxury. William Watts Ortiz, a senior, said he felt really good about getting to go to prom after COVID. After online school all year, he was glad to be at prom with his date, enjoying the evening before he plans to start working after graduation. Usually, we spend the school year fundraising with concession stands to raise money, and this year we didn't have that, junior class sponsor and teacher Lizzie Donaldson said. The evening's event was the first real extracurricular gathering of this many students since the pandemic began. And Donaldson said, it feels like things are coming back to normal, which is good, but a little weird. Junior Ian Marquez was excited to be at prom, saying the school year was very long and different, and that he was looking forward to finally not wearing a mask. Marfa welding teacher Juan Martinez DJed the event, bouncing from K. Calor to by Major Lazer to Kenny Loggins' 1980s hit Footloose. Students danced in unison to songs like Cupid Shuffle, then wound down with a slow dance to Band-Aid on a Bullet Hole by country musician Morgan Wallen. Student Carlos de la Hoya, helping in the DJ booth, also took the chance to sing a song for his classmates. "It was an honor to finally do something to make the kids happy again," Martinez said. He's seen the kids grow up over the past 14 years. "They're sort of my kids. The majority of them call me Dad," he said. Speaking about the graduating class, Martinez said, "It's a little bittersweet. Your babies grow up and move away, but at the same time, you're proud because you also see them accomplish their dreams." As the party neared its end, students voted to crown seniors Diedrich Campos and Gabby Soto as prom king and queen, who danced together under colorful strobing lights. New Alpine City Council throws out top city administration. By Abby Perot, ABBIE at BigBenSentinel.com. Abilene. When Judy Stokes ran for Alpine City Council this spring, she promised a different direction. At her first meeting at the helm of Alpine's Ward 1 on Tuesday night, Stokes led the charge to terminate City Manager Eric Zimmer, City Secretary Cynthia Salas, and City Attorney Sandy Wilson. By the end of the night, Zimmer and Salas were gone, with Wilson resigning effective immediately, and the chief of police suggesting he might be next. With terminations on the agenda, citizens turned out in the public comments period to talk about the city's future. Laura Goldman welcomed the new council to what feels like a new season, she said. "Lots of good work has been done. Goals have been created and achieved, but we're just getting started." She praised the transparency, camaraderie, and communication among the current city staff and asked the council, "How will what you do make the city better and council better and be a better representation of your community?" The council went through the agenda at a quick speed, with Zimmer sharing information about federal funds coming to the city soon and human resources Lorena Crespo Gonzalez announcing the pool would be staffed and reopened on Saturday, May 29th. But the agenda item the crowd and council was anticipating soon arrived. Stokes swiftly motioned to terminate the contracts for Zimmer and Salas, with council member Sarah Tandy, another newcomer, seconding it. As the action item moved into further discussion, citizens in attendance spoke to council about Zimmer's recent unblemished performance review, programs and initiatives he's accomplished, and the good morale among the current city staff under his leadership. One Alpine resident in attendance questioned whether Salas could hold public office, given a felony the city secretary had committed for conspiracy to commit bank fraud in 1991. The city attorney clarified that the city secretary position is not an elected office and can be held by someone with a felony charge. Mayor Andy Ramos also clarified the accusation that Zimmer had been terminated at the end of his previous term as city manager in 2017, explaining that Zimmer had resigned for personal reasons. "I've heard rumors about a personal vendetta," said Alpine resident Karen Cantrell as she approached the dais. "I don't know what the reasons are, but we're here to discuss, so I'd like to know what are the reasons and who do you have to replace these people? These people right here have done a good job." Those citizens, the city attorney and a fellow council member, asked Stokes to provide her reasoning or motivations for the termination she had slated. Stokes refused to talk. "We don't have to have those. We are an at-will employment," she said. "I put it on the agenda, and I feel comfortable in my position." Stokes did not return requests for comment, leaving the public with little reason as to why she initiated the swift terminations. On social media, some students responding to the terminations complained about Zimmer's salary and his use of a city vehicle to visit his family in Albuquerque, something that had been contractually agreed upon by the city when Zimmer was hired. The city attorney advised counsel to consider the risks of terminating the employees, saying, "Just because you're an at-will employee in the state of Texas doesn't mean you can blatantly violate somebody's employment contract. Nor can you go against policy and procedure of the city to fire them at will." I don't think that's a good response. I think you need to give a good reason. Zimmer spoke briefly, outlining his time at the city, his positive performance review, and the contract agreement he had with the city. "It feels like today we've been stood up in a firing line," he remarked. The mayor recommended tabling the motion in order for council to review the contract further, saying, "I don't want to hold the city in liability. It's taxpayers' money, and I feel that if we go into a lawsuit, it could go either way." Wilson advised the council, as the city's lawyer, that terminating employees, even in an at-will state, without cause, could have legal ramifications because of the contracts the employees had signed. Wilson also built out a case, presenting printed texts and a timeline of events that led her to believe these terminations were the machinations of Sheriff Ronnie Dodson, Stokes' former employer of 19 years. She referenced previous disputes between the county and city, including the leaking of a video of an Alpine police arrest by an employee at Dodson's gun store, as previously reported by the Big Bend Sentinel. She also pointed to Dodson's recent practice of denying the admittance of arrestees to the jail until they had been seen by a magistrate. In an interview after the meeting, Dodson denied the allegations made by Wilson. He said he was not Stokes' campaign manager, though he had donated to support her campaign. He also denied allegations made by Wilson that he had directed his deputies not to assist Alpine police, calling it a bold-faced lie. The sheriff also said the jail admits the most dangerous criminals without magistration, pointing to the jailing of a recent murder suspect. The vote advanced, with council members Stokes, Tandy, and Martin Sandate moving to terminate Zimmer, while council members Chris Rodriguez and Jerry Johnson voted against the motion. Audience members shouted out of the meeting's order, asking why Stokes had chosen termination. Mayor Ramos called the meeting to order and responded, "She just said we're going in different directions." Stokes, Tandy, and Sandate then voted to terminate Salas, with Johnson voting against it and Rodriguez recusing herself because Salas is her sister. Zimmer did not return requests for comment, and Salas declined to comment on the record. Mayor Ramos and council members Tandy, Sandate, and Johnson and Stokes did not return multiple requests for comment. Wilson, whose role was going to be considered in an executive session behind closed doors, indicated she wanted it to happen before the public. Stokes motioned to terminate Wilson, but the motion died without any council member seconding it. "As city attorney, tonight my client's rights were severely violated," Wilson said. "This city is about to be subject to probably millions of dollars worth of lawsuits. I will not tolerate illegal behavior, so I am exercising the clause in my contract that is a material breach made by the city council against my city, and I am resigning effective immediately." Alpine Police Chief Robert Martin addressed council after the resignations, saying he enjoyed working with Wilson, Salas, and Zimmer. He said his job with the city has been a battle, adding, I don't know what's going on, but if you don't like me, put me up on the agenda next. After the council meeting, Councilmember Rodriguez concluded, they've paralyzed the city, going on to say, the mayor talked about appointing someone as interim city manager, but it's not up to him, it's up to council. While council plans to meet next week to discuss personnel, it's uncertain who will sign off on the agenda, since it is typically approved by the city manager or city secretary. Rodriguez expressed a lack of confidence in the city's operations going forward. Right now, we are all freshman councilors. I am considered the senior councilor, and I have actively participated for less than 6 months, she said. I relied heavily on guidance from Councilor Rick Stevens, and I would meet with the city manager right before every meeting to have him explain things I didn't understand, such as the audit. These people have come on, had never attended a meeting before being elected, didn't attend the first meeting after their election, and came on board and made changes of this magnitude, Rodriguez said. I am scared for our city at this point and question whether I want to continue and be a part of this. Stokes promised a different direction, and on day one of her tenure, she ensured that. With no explanation during or after the meeting from the council members leading the charge, and no comment from the mayor, what that direction is remains to be seen. Presidio Commissioner's Court considers appointing new health authority, among other items, at last week's meeting. By Sachi McClendon, SACHI at BigBendSentinel.com. Presidio County. In addition to discussing appointing a new health authority, the Presidio County Commissioner's Court made a deal with a contractor to negotiate a better per diem rate with the U.S. Marshals Service, and then weighed in on whether to support the bill that would see Sol Ross move to another school system. Below are some of the major topics the commissioners chewed over. New Health Authority. One of the first items on the agenda was whether to appoint a new local Presidio County Health Authority, as Dr. John Paul Schwartz's term is coming to a close. While County Judge Cindy Guevara said that Dr. Schwartz is willing to serve another term, Commissioner Buddy Knight suggested that the county turn over control to the state through the Texas Department of State Health Services. Knight brought up that Brewster County did so after its local health authority, Dr. Ekla Escobar, resigned in part due to harassment from members of the public. Her life was threatened over decisions she made, or helped make, he said. I believe if we use the Texas Department of Health, we take the politics out of it. Any politics. While Justice of the Peace David Beebe said he wasn't advocating for either decision, he did offer his 2 cents. When you do cede the power to the state, you remove your local control. And that does take the politics out of it. It also takes the policy out of it, he said. I'm just going to say, people have appointed you all to be in charge here. You can pass the buck. I'm not saying it's the right or the wrong thing. I'm just saying, if you want to maintain local control, you have to keep local control. Guevara pushed back slightly, saying that the health authority, whether local or not, has to enforce any and all regulations set by the Commissioner's Court. Commissioners Jose Cabezuela, Eloy Aranda, and Brenda Bentley all wanted to hear from the public, particularly local medical workers, before making the decision, and Guevara tabled the item for the next Commissioner's Court on May 26th. U.S. Marshals contract. The court next discussed whether to hire a contractor to negotiate a new per diem rate with the U.S. Marshals Service in regards to housing federal inmates in the county jail. Under the current contract, signed in October 2010, the county gets paid $65 per day for each federal inmate detained in the jail. The contractor, Joseph Summerall, estimated a new rate of $78, which he says is a conservative number. It is likely your rate could end up in the $80 range, which is not unheard of in West Texas, he said. If bumped up to a $78 per diem, the county would generate around $25,000 extra per month without the jail having to change its operations in any way, according to Summerall. This new rate would bring in an additional $1 million to the county's coffers over the life of the agreement, which is 36 months. According to the county jail administrator, Graciela Parras, the jail is currently housing around 60 federal inmates, but that number can go up to 90. She said that many of these inmates have been brought in from Homeland Security Investigations agents or Border Patrol agents for crimes related to immigration, like human smuggling. Summerall said his fee is based off of the difference between what the county would make for 90 days following the execution of the new agreement. So if the county's new per diem were $13 more than what it currently is, Summerall would get $13 per inmate over 90 days. If the number of inmates were to hover around 60 over those 90 days, the county would pay Summerall around $70,000. Guevara said that negotiating a new per diem rate with the U.S. Marshals Service is an extremely arduous process that can be avoided by contracting with Summerall's company, which has conducted hundreds of them. Guevara said that the jail administrator and the sheriff were on board with the proposal. The court agreed and passed the motion. Saul Ross. The council then debated whether to support House Bill 2332, which would transfer Saul Ross State University out of the Texas State University system and into the Texas A&M University system. Even though the bill hasn't moved much through the legislature, Commissioner Knight wanted to send a message through a resolution that the county supported the move. Knight said, "I don't think you can defend the Texas State University system and what they have done to us out here in West Texas." In the resolution, the county asked for Pete Gallego to remain president and be given a sufficient amount of time to prepare for the transition. One Marfa resident, David Marwitz, urged the court to postpone the resolution until the next legislative session. In the meantime, he suggested the court invite representatives from A&M and other school systems, like the Texas Tech University system, to see what they are willing to do for Saul Ross. Marwitz also wondered if the Texas A&M system would be the best fit for Saul Ross. If you go back and look at the Texas A&M system and where they have developed their colleges, it's along the I-35 corridor and urban areas, he said. Are they going to want to put money in here, or are they going to want to funnel students to where they already have facilities? The court passed a motion to postpone this item until the May 26th meeting and to consider another resolution that doesn't tie the county to the Texas A&M system. Presidio Ambulances. The court also agreed to help fund the purchase of a new ambulance in Presidio, using funds from the American Rescue Plan Act. As the Big Bend Sentinel previously reported, Presidio EMS Director Melinda Richardson secured $150,000 in funding for a new ambulance, and the city pledged to cover the rest of the cost, which could range from $31,000 to $75,000. The court did not specify how much money it would give toward the new emergency vehicle.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Monahans News for Thursday, May 13th. City Council certifies elections results, Steen as mayor. The story was written by Paul Cyphers. Meeting in regular session on Tuesday afternoon, Monahan City Council canvassed the votes of the May 1st election and then certified Adam Steen as the mayor-elect. Steen defeated incumbent Mayor David Cutbirth in the election by a total vote count of 447 to 423. In canvassing the votes, City Manager Rex Thee said two votes were cast from individuals that did not reside in the city. Quote, "There was an error in the tax rolls from the county registrar that mistakenly showed those streets to be within the city. We consulted with the State Secretary of State, who advised the votes to be counted, so they are included in the vote tally." Additionally, another 31 were listed on the voter rolls that were actually not in the city, but those individuals did not cast votes. All of those have been removed, so we won't have that issue again. The voting count is correct as stated. End quote. The council approved the resolution officially declaring the election results. Council members present were Calvin Carroll, Rudy Hernandez, Jeppy Wilson, and Ivy Valenzuela. Councilmember Richard Hawkins was not present. City Attorney Alan Nicholas was also in attendance. A public hearing was held to determine regarding a request of the code enforcement officer if the property at 315 East A Street should be demolished. The building is too far gone for repair, with the recommendation that the building be demolished at city expense. After closing the hearing, Councilmember Calvin Carroll asked, "How much will the demolition cost?" Thee said the cost is expected to be in the $12,000 to $14,000 range, and a lien would be placed on that property that would be recovered if and when the property sells. In other actions, a request was approved from Crossroads Church to close 3rd Street from Allen to Bruce from 7 a.m. until 4 p.m. on June 20th in order to have activities in the street for Father's Day. The council approved a request from Monahan's Volunteer Fire Department to change the department's constitution and bylaws to change the required waiting time for persons that have been denied membership from 6 months to 6 weeks. In routine business, minutes of the April 17th meeting were approved. The next regular meeting of the council will be held on May 25th at 3 p.m. in council chambers of City Hall. Commissioners updated on current COVID-19 status. The story was written by Paul Cyphers. Ward County Judge Greg Holly told the commissioners in Monday's meeting that there were no necessary actions in relation to COVID-19. Quote, "Our numbers still remain low, with 14 confirmed active cases," Holly said. Ward Memorial Hospital CEO Leticia Rodriguez, who was in attendance for the meeting, said there were currently 7 COVID-19 cases in the hospital on Monday morning. The balance of the short meeting dealt with mostly routine business matters. Commissioners present were Tino Sanchez, Larry Hanna, and Eddie Nelms. Commissioner Dexter Nichols was not present. On the recommendation of Sanchez, a request for Rattler Midstream Operating LLC to cross County Roads 160 and 162 for pipeline purposes was approved. The proposal is for an 8-inch production water pipeline that will be installed a minimum of 6 feet under the road surface using a bore method under the roadway. The roads are located approximately 10 miles north of Barstow. Payment of bills totaling $1.9 million was approved. Several personnel changes were approved, mostly for Precinct 2 lifeguards. 10 were hired as lifeguards part-time, approximately 30 hours per week, at a salary of $15 per hour with no benefits. Brian Cooper was hired as a pool manager, approximately 40 hours per week, at a salary of $17 per hour with no benefits. For the jail, Rachel Sanchez was hired as a part-time cook at a salary of $15 per hour retirement benefit only. In Precinct 1, Ruben Garcia was hired as an equipment operator at a salary of $1,900 biweekly with full benefits. The next meeting of the commissioners will be held on May 24th at 9:30 a.m. at the Ward County Courthouse, 400 South Allen Street. Blanco gets probation on theft charge. This story was written by Christy Sullivan. 143rd Judicial District Judge Mike Swanson handed down a probated sentence on May 3rd on charges of burglary of a habitation, a second-degree felony. Under a probated sentence, the defendant will be sentenced to a set amount of jail or prison time, which will be suspended. The defendant must report to a probation officer for a set amount of time, pay fines and court costs, and comply with all the conditions of probation. Christian Alberto Blanco, age 25, of 1304 South Ursula, accepted the plea and pled guilty to charges of burglary and waived his right to a jury trial. He was arrested on the charges on December 7, 2019, and was indicted for the offense by a 143rd District Grand Jury on February 27, 2020. According to the indictment, on or about December 7th, Blanco did intentionally enter a habitation without consent of the owner, Stephanie Group, and attempted to steal a Samsung tablet, a 32-inch TV, Xbox gaming system, 12-gauge shotgun, 9mm handgun, and other miscellaneous items all owned by Group. Blanco was sentenced to 10 years confinement in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, probated for 8 years, and was ordered to pay $393 in court costs and $6,400 in restitution to Joey and Stephanie Group. The offense can be punishable by imprisonment in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice for any term of 2 to 20 years in prison and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Blanco was represented by Trent Graham. Attorneys for the state was 143rd District Attorney Randall W. Reynolds. Deputies arrest two on weapon and meth charges and outstanding warrant. The story was written by Paul Cyphers. On April 28th, at approximately 1 p.m., Ward County Sheriff's Office deputies made contact with a 1999 red Dodge Dakota at the Alsups in Wicked, Texas, in reference to illegal activity. Investigation revealed Jerry Casares, age 23 years old, from Bernie, Texas, was in possession of a firearm. Deputies had prior knowledge Mr. Casares had been convicted on a felony charge. Through further investigation, deputies discovered Joseph Vogel, 34 years old, out of Wicket, had an outstanding warrant for his arrest out of El Paso, Texas. Upon making contact with the occupants inside the vehicle, Mr. Casares was found in possession of a firearm. Mr. Casares was placed under arrest for unlawful possession of a firearm by a felon, a third-degree felony. Mr. Vogel was found inside Alsup's and was placed under arrest on the outstanding warrant for his arrest out of El Paso. The warrant charged Mr. Vogel with tampering with governmental records, a Class A misdemeanor. A probable cause search of the vehicle was conducted by deputies. Deputies found approximately 27 grams of a crystalline substance believed to be methamphetamine. Mr. Vogel was also charged with possession of a controlled substance in Penalty Group 1, a second-degree felony. Hospital program evaluations approved. The story was written by Paul Cyphers. The managers of Ward Memorial Hospital approved the Hospital Critical Access Report and the annual clinic program evaluation during last Thursday's meeting. The reports are generated by administrative staff of the hospital along with a community member and is an annual requirement. The Critical Access Hospital Report highlighted some of the accomplishments for 2020, including the actions to deal with COVID, expanded telemetry services, replacing older computers, transitioning to HRG for billing services, start of PT renovation, recruitment of an additional physician, and more. The financial performance was also reviewed with reported a positive net margin of $1.6 million and total assets and liabilities of $17.6 million. The statistical report comparing key metrics for the past 7 years was also included in the report, including hospital admission, length of stay, daily census, ER visits, surgery procedures, and swing bed days. Patient satisfaction scores were in the 95th percentile for 2020. The reports for the Sand Hills Family Clinic and Sand Hills Family Clinic East were also part of the report. SFC had total patient encounters of 15,919, and the East Clinic had 5,828, both down from 2018 and 2019, largely due to COVID-19. A report of medical staff was also included in the report. Revenue for SFC was $2.5 million with expenses of $2.1 million. There was no deficit. For the East Clinic, revenue was $972,000 and expenses were $794,000. There was no deficit. The physical therapy renovation continues to move forward with an estimated completion date of July 4th. Quote, the HVAC system, roofing work, painting, and tile work are all moving well, CEO Leticia Rodriguez told the managers. We are expecting completion about 3 weeks ahead of schedule, end quote. For the COVID-19 report, there were 3 COVID patients in the hospital and 8 total patients. Quote, we are not going to do any more large immunization clinics at the Coliseum, but vaccinations can still be obtained at the Sand Hills Clinic, she said. She also reported on the recently completed security risk assessment. Quote, things have improved over the last assessment. Full load testing was completed with no issues, but it was observed that some people were opening unknown emails. They recommend we continue to educate employees to not open these emails, Rodriguez said. In routine business, minutes of the April 22nd meeting were approved. The next meeting of the managers will be held on May 20th at 6:15 p.m. at the Ward County Event Center. Surprise teacher visits OC nursing students. The story was written by Paul Cyphers. Nursing students at the Odessa College Monahans campus received a surprise visitor last Wednesday when nationally renowned author and business owner Victor Castillo, MSN, RN, was the guest lecturer and instructor for the day. Castillo received a warm welcome from the students as she was greeted with applause as she made the rounds through the class, giving every student a hug. She is the owner of Facets Healthcare, a national corporation that specializes in certified nursing assistant test preparation. The company specializes in providing lesson plans with videos and other interactive content, including corresponding quizzes covering 11 different topics. The nursing program at the Monahans campus of Odessa College makes extensive use of her training materials as part of the CNA's curriculum. The company is headquartered in Phoenix, Arizona. The Facets Healthcare program provides everything a student may need to pass their nursing assistant certification test with resources such as a test bank, handouts, skill videos, webinars, and 24/7 access via PC, tablet, or mobile. The provided materials are state-specific, designed to provide the student with the best chance of passing the certification test.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Far West Texas. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.